killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone truck boiling an X-ray 985 to come back up next.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Welcome back to another week on Decoding the Crimeverse. I am Danny.
And I am Nolzi.
And today we are speaking about one of the most controversial and one of the biggest cases that we've seen growing up. It was a big case, watching it and watching it
I was
it
not
unfold,
alive yet.
It was crazy.
It's kind of weird to think I was not alive.
So, we are talking about O.J. Simpson.
A whole O.J. Simpson, guys.
And this man. So, his name is Orenthal James Simpson.
Wait, is that what it stands for?
Wait, what are you expecting? Something cool like...
I don't know. What
O names
what
are
names
cool?
What names start with O? What names start with O full stop?
Orange.
Orange Simpson.
Orange James Simpson.
I like it.
Okay. Wait, what names start with an O? Oriel. No.
Does that start
that's
with
Ariel.
Oh.
Oprah. Oprah James. No, that's a girl's name. And he was born on July the 9th, 1947, nicknamed The Juice. Orange, see?
Exactly! Orange! I'm telling you, that's his name.
He's an American former football running back, broadcaster, actor, advertising spokesman, and convicted felon. It was like everything was going up and then... Once popular figure of the United States public, he is best known for being tried for the murders of his former wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and friend Ron Goldman.
This is the story of... Orange James Simpson. In the early morning of June 13th, 1994, at 12:10 a.m., the bodies of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald L. Goldman were found outside Nicole's townhouse, stabbed to death. At the time, O.J. and Nicole Simpson were divorced and living separately. The bodies were discovered by two neighbors who were led to the crime scene by Nicole's dog, who had been insistently barking throughout the time of the murders. They saw blood coming out the sidewalk. Going back 6 hours, at 6:30, Nicole had arrived at a restaurant called Mezzaluna. 9:15, Nicole's sister calls Mezzaluna to say her mother had left her glasses there and Ronald Goldman would come and pick them up. At 9:30 the same night, Brian Kalin and O.J. Simpson go to the McDonald's for dinner. Guys, we love McDonald's. Okay, I
don't like McDonald's, so this fits with me. Keep going.
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that, okay?
It just doesn't have that thing.
Have you had the chicken nuggets?
I have, but it's just, for me, McDonald's is dry food, to be quite honest. I see why O.J.
You've
went
just
there.
Made all my murders, I'm just saying. At 9:45 p.m., Kalin and O.J. returned home. At 9:50 p.m., Goldman leaves Mezzaluna with Nicole's mother's glasses. And at 10:15 p.m., Nicole Simpson's neighbor hears the dog bark for the first time while watching TV. At 10:25 p.m., a limousine driver named Alan Park arrives at O.J.'s home, as O.J. was scheduled to leave Chicago at 11:45. At 10:40, Kalin heard three loud thumps on the outside wall of the guest house. From 9:40 to 9:55, the limo driver buzzes O.J.'s intercom several times, but there is no answer. Just before 11 p.m., the limo driver sees a shadowy figure, 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, walking across the driveway towards the house. He tries buzzing the intercom again, and this time O.J. answers, saying he overslept and doesn't look too good. At 9:45, O.J. departs on the American Airlines flight to Chicago. 12:10 a.m., the bodies of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman are discovered outside their townhouse. On June 17th, 1994, O.J. was charged with two counts of murder, but he did not surrender, resulting in a low-speed police chase. O.J. was in the passenger seat of the car and was being driven by his friend, who would later explain that he didn't stop due to the fact that O.J. was holding a gun to his own head. O.J. surrendered to the police at 8:51 p.m., but professed his innocence, saying, "Understand, I had nothing to do with Nicole's murder. I loved her. Always have and always will. If I had a problem, it was because I loved her too much." Okay. First of all, can I just ask, what's a low-speed chase? Do you drive like 40? Surely then the police can catch you.
They were driving very slowly, but it was on a highway, so it was like very weird to...
Well, I mean, like if I'm trying to get away with the cops, I'm going to be going like 140. Like, you'll catch me there.
But then also, I think the case was so publicized that it, because literally, you can literally watch the video. There's like,
I know, I've seen the video. I'm just very confused. A low speed chase, like, what is that?
If I was the cop in the other car, that is so, the wheels so, and like, be like, dude, come out.
Boring.
we're going.
I'm sorry. If you're going to do a speed chase, please at least put the dramatic effect and make it fast.
I think the friend didn't want to drive fast also because, like, the guy's with the gun to his head.
That's also true. Next thing, you misfires.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so we're going to look at the evidence presented, and we're going to look at two possibilities. One, that OJ was guilty for the crime, and two, that he was not guilty. So let's look as if he was guilty. So his motive. Obviously, we know OJ and Nicole had been separated, but then there were rumors that Nicole was now doing some things with Mr. Goldman over there, getting close, having some relationship over there, and, well, that could mean OJ was a bit jealous.
There was motive. There was motive.
Apparently, OJ was a little... I mean, in the past, I know that OJ... There had been 9 calls to the police for domestic disturbance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't a happy marriage.
He was abusive. It's not like he was... And... in an interview where he speaks about the book, If I Did It, he actually goes...
Okay, that's another thing. He writes an entire... he wrote an entire novel. An entire
Wait,
novel.
Which criminal have you ever seen who...
About...
Can write a book about if they committed the crime?
I'm sorry, he wrote... Are you trying to get me to arrest you? What are you doing?
Well, as he's doing this interview, he says this. He goes... I get to the house and Goldman and Nicole come to the door and I ask him, what are you doing here? And I start to get worked up and angry. I'm like, wait, dude.
Guys, hello.
At that point, I'm taking you to jail because you've just confessed.
I'm sorry. You wrote an entire book, guys. I can't get around the fact that you wrote that book. Okay. Anyway, the timeline that if the murders occurred at 10:15 was when the first dog bark happened. OJ would have had enough time to commit the murders, clean himself up, and get back to the house at 11 p.m., which was when he then answered the limo driver. So the time does work, and apparently he lived like 6 minutes away from the house.
Yeah.
So it's not a far drive. But now let's look at the DNA evidence, okay? So, number one, OJ's blood, as well as Nicole's and Goldman's blood, was found on a glove left at the crime scene.
Yep.
The glove matched a pair that was found in OJ's estate behind the guest house, and both had the matching blood. Okay, so that's the first piece of evidence. Our second piece of evidence is that OJ had a cut on his finger the day after the murders. The third piece of evidence was a knitted beanie was found at the crime scene that contained hairs that were proven to be OJ's. The third piece of evidence was that there was a bloody sock found that had Nicole's blood on, and I think it was found at his place.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. The whatever number we are on was that there was a bloody shoe print found at the crime scene that matched OJ's size and matched the pattern of a pair he had previously owned. OJ had also purchased a knife matching the type that the coroner predicted to be used by the killer.
Yeah.
However, the knife and the shoes were never found. Now, I'm sorry. With that amount of evidence, I'm putting you in jail. I'm sorry. Like,
but they couldn't put him in jail because what happened was the cop that was the first to arrive on the scene then went to OJ's house on his own.
Yes.
And this cop in one sitting...
This is where it starts to get fishy and now we start to think, okay... Is he actually guilty? Because he was found not guilty of this murder.
And this is what happened. So the cop then, in one sitting, it was said that he said 40 racial slurs in one sitting.
Yeah.
That's just one. And so he was known for being racist, if we could put it that way. And then he arrives at OJ's house, jumps over the wall, not even police protocol thing.
No, nothing like that. And guess what?
He jumps over the wall and he, by himself, discovers... the glove. Mm. And that is the problem. Now, can we trust this man? Did he plant it? And then you plead Fifth
but
Amendment.
That wasn't even the only problem they had with the evidence. Okay, there were huge technical mistakes made on law enforcement. For example, evidence wasn't packaged properly. Okay, it was left in a van to overheat.
Yeah.
Okay, so that already suggests that things have contaminated. Then there was a case where one, I think, I don't know if it was a detective or cop, took a sample of the blood.
Yeah.
Went to OJ's place.
Yeah.
And guess what? When he came back, there was less blood in the vial than when he had left.
Yeah.
Okay. Then when he got on the stand, he invoked the Fifth Amendment, which basically says, I will not say anything because I don't want to incriminate myself. Does that not already tell me that you've done stuff?
No, you've already incriminated
You've already incriminated yourself. But cool, it's the dumbest thing to call on the Fifth Amendment because it's literally like, oh, wait, yeah, I actually did do it.
Yeah, but then why don't we arrest those people that do that?
Okay.
Why is that in your law, America?
Then, the defense team had OJ try on the gloves and they didn't fit. Now, the gloves had been frozen. Physics, when you freeze something, it shrinks.
Yeah.
That's why the gloves didn't fit.
Yeah.
Apparently, when OJ tried the gloves on, he had the biggest smile on his face because he knew they weren't going to fit.
Yeah.
They'd been frozen. Yeah. Frozen and unfrozen, frozen and unfrozen. Yeah. It's, of course, it's going to shrink.
Yeah.
Especially because I think they were made of like leather.
Yeah.
Okay. So already, guys, shame. The police force, they made lots of mistakes.
And then that didn't help them because then the jury members consisted of 8 African-American people. They were 2 Hispanics, 1 white person.
And 2 mixed race people.
And 2 mixed race people. So already there, playing a game of numbers.
Especially because 2 years before, the LAPDs, there were lots of riots because the LAPDs were being said to be, had beaten a black man named Rodney King.
Yeah, and Rodney King is a big story in America.
Yes, and the assaulting officers were actually never charged.
Yeah.
So already there was this whole thing about like, no, this is a race, pulling the race card type of thing. And like we said already with the racial slurs from the detective.
Yeah.
Okay. And actually, the district attorney who was assigned to OJ, his name was Christopher Darden, said, it will upset the black jurors. It will say whose side you are on, the man or the brothers. So really, they were like playing, guys, are you on? Come on, like, help a brother out.
I think this is a good time to be an African-American criminal in America because all you needed to, I understand there was racism and all of these things that were happening, but like, are we not going to actually like give someone a fair trial because he's black?
Yeah, well, the jury did reach the verdict that he was not guilty. However, years later, he was then tried on a civil case where he then basically lost all his money. So he didn't get charged in criminal law, but he did in a civil case. So this is a very interesting thing, also with the mishandling of evidence.
Yeah.
Now, I was speaking to my dad because my dad said he watched the case literally live.
Yeah.
And he said that was the biggest downfall for law enforcement.
Yeah.
He said normally, okay, especially because OJ was wealthy, he was a famous footballer, he could afford good attorneys and a good defense team. And because he could afford that, they were able to use the mistakes of the police and push it to such an advantage. But as said, in many cases, there are often police mistakes. But because you don't have the defense team to back it up, most of the people then just end up in prison. But because he had, my dad literally says, justice depends on the money you have.
Yeah.
Because they had the money, they could literally push, oh, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. And then guess what? Mans goes free.
But that's what law is. Law is a game of convincing people in your favor. Now, what if he didn't
do it? Yeah, so obviously if he didn't do it, then someone had to have done it. And there are 2 big theories. The first is a serial killer named Glenn Rogers, which I don't think this guy had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
I really feel like
he was just one of those got to jail and was like, I did it.
I feel like that there are just some people who just really want to just claim that they did stuff that they didn't do. And I don't understand why. We've often seen that on the show, how people claim to have killed this person or shot that person. And I'm like, are you that bored with your life? Is your life that boring that you need to steal someone else's crime? Anyway, his name was Glenn Rogers. And his brother, Clay Rogers, said that Glenn confessed to murdering Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman on his deathbed. And however, it's still said that OJ would have still been guilty because apparently OJ hired Glenn Rogers to steal back a pair of Nicole's earrings from her condo, and he told Glenn to do whatever he needed to do and kill her if she got in the
way.
That
is stupid. I was like, I doubt that.
For earrings.
Like, seriously.
When you are rich.
You know what I mean?
Now we're going to go steal earrings. You're a guy. I don't even think he had his ears pierced.
I'm not hiring a serial killer to commit theft.
I'm sorry.
That's stupid. The next theory is one that I subscribe to personally, because this theory is Jason Simpson, the son himself of
Orange Juice.
Yeah.
Orange Juice! God, yes. I'm telling you his name is Orange Juice.
The juice. So, OJ's son, and basically the theory, it's a theory of the private investigator, Bill Deer, and he basically made up this case totally circumstantial.
But it's also circumstantial.
But it might. I'm here in this case.
I understand where it's coming from. I still think it was OJ, though, but that's my own personal opinion.
I think he was at the scene of the crime, but honestly, I think his son did it. At the same time that Nicole and Goldman's murders happened, Jason was on probation after having attacked his former boss with a knife. Jason had also attacked former girlfriend and Jennifer Green with a knife as well. And then another former girlfriend, Dee Dee, claimed that Jason almost broke her back after throwing her into a bathtub and cut her hair with a knife.
Note to all ladies. So this stay guy, away from this guy.
Right? This guy liked knives for some reason. Jason
I
had.
I just ask, what was he doing that he was throwing in the bathtub?
I don't know.
He just throw someone happened? In a bathtub. That's so like, random.
Why?
What's I'm angry with you!
What?
In the bathtub, like of all places. Okay.
That is crazy. Jason had reported, had two reported assaults involving a knife, so he was the knife guy. And then he obtained medical records.
So the Bill Deer obtained the medical records.
Yeah, illegally though, because he dressed up as a doctor, and then he got the. But it was illegal, so obviously you can't
use evidence that it has been obtained illegally.
And then Jason had been diagnosed with
a rage disorder.
Rage disorder, and basically, when you look at this. He wasn't taking his pills at the time of these two murders. So could he have? Could he not have? I know fathers call their sons and they're like, Nicole is doing the things with Mr. Goldman. And then the son was like, I'm going to get her.
And his alibi was very fishy because he was working at a restaurant. But his time card was handwritten, which means it could have been forged. And it was especially weird because the electric time clock was working. So there was no need for
Wait,
it to
your
be.
Father's super rich and he's a football player. Why are you working at a restaurant?
Anyway. Maybe he got cut off.
Probably.
Who knows?
And there are reported pictures of Jason wearing a knitted hat, the same one that resembles the one found at the crime scene. And after that, he was never seen with the same hat ever again in pictures or anywhere. So they're saying that that might have been the hat that was found. And the theory goes that OJ was only present at the scene to protect his son. And that explains his bizarre, obviously,
yeah, actually,
the way he
we
acted
didn't speak
afterwards.
About it. Like, the whole man was going to shoot himself in the car.
Exactly. And he just wasn't
so
acting
whack.
Right. I think the son was like, yeah. Ring, ring, dead. I'm outside Nicole's house. I'm going to kill this woman.
But you see, my thing was, right, I mean, he had a flight planned. The evidence, the blood, the DNA, I mean, he was known to be quite violent. It could have, because we do have murders of that, like, passion and anger.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know.
I think he was abusive. But I don't think he was a murderer. And if we look at the hairs that matched and the shoe print and whatever, anything that is related to OJ, it's his son. The DNA could really match. So I honestly think it was his son. I think he did go to the crime scene. Obviously,
to like help
I think that freaked him out completely. And I think that's why we saw that slow speed chase with him writing the suicide letter. He already had a suicide letter written before. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to kill himself. I mean, no murderer acts that bizarre.
But you see, my thing is, right, like, if now, say he did love her.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you got angry and you accidentally killed, you didn't want to kill her. And yeah. You accidentally killed her. I mean, I don't know if you, when you watched the Oscar Pistorius case,
yeah.
Man, you could, I mean, obviously the man did it, but you could see how like he looked
but he
ill.
Was fake though.
But he looked ill. Did
but
you
he
not
was
look
faking
at him?
It. He did.
I know that, but like, now I'm, okay, let's say I am married to Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I find Bob is having some funny thing with Susan. Yeah. And I get angry.
It's always Bob and Susan.
Always Bob and Susan, guys. And I, out of a fit of rage, kill Bob. But I still love Bob. It's gonna take a toll on you.
I think OJ sort of like put himself in these shoes of I killed her when he wrote that book. Because as he was describing it, he's like, in that moment, I get angry and I black out. And you know I don't what? Remember I what happened after that.
I'm going to read this book.
He literally says he blacked out and then the murders happened and he doesn't remember doing the murders and stuff. But obviously, it's hypothetical.
It's all hypothetical.
Because, so if, like, he did black out for real and then he murdered her and then afterwards he was like, Flip, what did I do? That could explain why.
Maybe. I suppose, but afterwards, a couple of years later, in 2007, he was connected to a robbery in Las Vegas and charged with robbery and kidnapping for 33 years. If you look at this, though, what he was actually wanting to do is after the civil case, he lost all his money and he actually, a guy was selling all his memorabilia and he wanted his stuff back. So then he just wouldn't let the guy out the room until the guy gave his stuff back.
Yeah.
So the cops then called that kidnapping. And it was kind of like the same thing with Al Capone. We couldn't get you on any of your charges. So we're going to get you for tax evasion. Yeah. We couldn't get you for the murder. We're going to get you for this. Yeah. That's so I don't know if he's still in prison.
No, he was released a couple of years ago. It was a big thing all over everywhere. So now he's living life in America. And it was a big thing. It's like, should he come out? Should he not? But he came out and yeah.
And if you guys didn't know, this is the case that Rob Kardashian worked, as in Kim Kardashian's dad.
Yeah.
And it actually caused a bit of family problems because the mom, Kris Jenner, was very close friends with Nicole.
Yeah.
And now the dad is working as the defense attorney for the guy who possibly killed her. So that was a bit of a...
But then there's a lot of speculation around this case. I mean, they said that she might have had an affair with OJ as well, Kris Jenner. So.
Damn, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, because many people are like, maybe he's Khloe's dad, and there's this whole theory that he's Khloe's dad because they were having an affair and all of that stuff. And that's why Rob actually stepped off the case, because there was one point Hollywood. Where he stepped off the case.
Hollywood is just
it's drama. Crazy there.
Drama.
It is.
Yeah, just last thoughts. I kind of feel like it was OJ. The way he was smiling when he saw those gloves didn't fit. And apparently when he found out he was not guilty, he whispered something into his lawyer's ears. And no one's ever known what he said. And people are like, what did he say?
Yeah.
For me, I feel like OJ, my guy, just confess. You wrote a book about it. Clearly know what happened, I'm just saying. But that's my
opinion. If I was OJ, I would write down, I do believe he knows what happened. So for him to say he doesn't know what happened is a lie because he was there at the house.
Yeah, I feel like
that is proven. Mm. He was at the house. Yeah. Whether they killed her or not, he was there.
But you think
if
it's the
son? If I was him, I think it's the son. But if it is the son, it's both of them because he went to the crime scene. So essentially,
I mean, he'd still be an accessory to murder.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we'll ever know.
I would write a letter and I would seal this letter. And when I die, it gets released.
You know what?
Then we know the truth and you cannot go to jail because you did. So, OJ, if you're listening to me, tell us the truth, bro. Tell us the truth.
You know what? Write a letter, right? And then just mail it to us. We won't tell anyone.
We won't tell anyone.
We won't tell anyone.
Until you die.
Yeah, and then we'll
then we'll be like, this is what OJ said!
I'm telling you guys. But if you want to see some photos and evidence from the case, be sure to check us out on our Instagram at @decodingthecrimeverse. But until next time,
rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Like what you're listening to? Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM, Instagram at ActiveFM777, and Facebook at /ActiveFM.